the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West, Farm City Newsday. We're moving right along into today's show headlines. First up, Brian Derman is talking with us about water provisions of an infrastructure bill that are coming after years of advocacy. Also in today's show, understanding the letters that are coming from the Central Valley Water Board. And sticking to the topic of water, I'm starting off today's program with details on an upcoming water event at the Capitol. Let's jump right in. A little over 3 years ago, farmers, ag advocates, politicians, and future industry leaders rallied on the steps of the state capitol for water. Now, California Farm Bureau is encouraging all of those connected to the industry to rally again. According to CFBF, ag workers worked through the pandemic to keep people fed, but agriculture is lacking an essential part of growing food. They're lacking water. The basis of the rally is to advocate for water rights, but also to remind lawmakers that their voters supported funding for storage and conveyance 7 years ago, and lawmakers have since shifted their priorities to focus on union politics. As AgNet West has reported, the Senate recently passed Assembly Bill 616, which would overhaul the voting process for unionization. Agriculture groups, including CFBF, Western Growers, and the California Fresh Fruit Association, have shown their disappointment in this decision, and they're urging the governor to veto the bill. Farm Bureau is encouraging folks to gather at the Capitol on September 9th at 11 a.m. Some county farm bureaus are setting up transportation efforts. Contact your local office for more details. Stay tuned to AgNet West and this radio station as we continue to provide you with coverage on this topic. But for now, let's take a listen to these back-to-back reports with Brian German.
The trillion-dollar infrastructure bill making its way through Congress contains several provisions important to agricultural production. President and CEO of Western Growers, Dave Puglia, explained that it took years of work to get water infrastructure into a national bill like the one sitting in Congress, and ag groups remained vigilant in pushing for its ultimate approval.
Yeah, we worked really hard to assemble a coalition of over 200 organizations in the Western U.S. to advocate for water infrastructure in the West if there would be an infrastructure bill. So this goes back actually 3+ years. We started making noise about this in Washington, D.C. because most members of Congress and the Senate don't think of the water infrastructure that we have out west when they talk about an infrastructure bill. They think about railroads and bridges and things like that. So the good news here is that all of that persuasion and advocacy and browbeating over the years resulted in over $8 billion in infrastructure dollars for the West. Now the question is, will the Senate and the House match each other and produce a bill that goes to the president? Of course, the Senate passed the bill. The House has not yet. And there's another bill that is being tied to its fate. So this is one of those things where the politics of the larger infrastructure and spending priorities of members of Congress could overwhelm the win that we have in front of us. But we're still fighting, and we still think we have a pretty good shot.
The Central Valley Water Board will soon be sending out letters to dairy farmers in the coming weeks. Director of Environmental Services for Western United Dairies, Paul Souza, said the letters are nothing to worry about necessarily, but producers will want to be prepared to respond to what's being asked if needed.
The regional board is trying to sort out different irrigated parcels and making sure that they're all regulated in one of their programs, either the irrigated lands regulatory program, where most of their parcels are regulated, the dairy order or the bovine order, which regulates dairies and then, you know, feedlots and the like. Those are two separate orders. And there's a few other orders out there also that regulate things like food processing facilities that apply their water that they've used in the plant to land. And so they're just making sure that all those parcels are covered. They've looked around and found that there are parcels that are not regulated in any of their programs, and they're going to be sending a letter asking dairies, make sure that you're reporting every parcel that you own as a dairy farmer in your annual report. So that's the bottom line of the letter, and dairies should be expecting that. It's always good for folks to know, you know, there's something coming from the water board so they don't get a surprise when they open their mail one day and, you know, there's a thick envelope from the water board and like, oh my goodness, what did I do? You know, or what's going on? This way they've heard this story and they know what to be expecting. I think what most dairies are going to do is they're going to turn around and work with their service provider that does their annual reports. And so they're going to work with that company to take care of that.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And in more agriculture news, tips for your Labor Day cookout. There are many ways to turn your Labor Day weekend cookout into a sick out. Here are just a couple. USDA's Gary Crawford has comments with Marilyn Carruthers of USDA's Meat and Poultry Hotline.
Lots of grills will be going, and unfortunately, lots of people will be getting sick because of any number of grilling goofs. Agriculture Department food safety expert Meredith Carruthers is with us to give us two of the biggest goofs. Yes, outdoor grillers make top of the list of goofs.
Not fully cooking the foods on the grill.
That happens a lot because of one thing.
Grilling really makes it look done a lot of times way before it actually is fully done.
And so she says we're asking for trouble if we don't use a food thermometer to get meat and poultry up to a high enough temperature in the center to kill any bacteria in there. Next biggest goof?
Using the same utensil that you use to put all the raw stuff on the grill to take the cooked stuff off.
Or using the same platter on which you took the raw meat and poultry out to the grill to bring the cooked stuff back to be eaten, putting any bacteria from the raw food right back onto the cooked food, right?
Yep,
and next time we'll tackle a couple of more grilling goofs.
Again, that was USDA's Gary Crawford reporting. The USDA's Meat and Poultry Hotline number is 888-MPH-OTLINE. Listeners can also go online to askusda.gov. Stay tuned as we've got more of the day's national headlines and local reports right here on AgNet West Farm City News Day when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The Department of Agriculture report forecasts increased farm income for 2021. Net farm income is forecast to increase by $18.5 billion, or 19.5%. At $113 billion, net farm income would be at its highest level since 2013, and 20% above its 20-year average of $93.9 billion. In inflation-adjusted 2021 dollars, USDA expects net farm income to rise $15 billion in 2021 from the previous year. USDA expects net cash farm income to increase by $23.8 billion, or 21.5%, to $134.7 billion in 2021. Net cash farm income encompasses cash receipts from farming as well as farm-related income, including government payments, minus cash expenses. Lower direct government payments and higher production expenses in 2021 are expected to only partially offset higher cash receipts. The expected decrease is largely because of lower supplemental and disaster assistance for COVID-19 relief in 2021 compared to 2020. USDA predicts production expenses to increase 7.3% to $383.5 billion in 2021. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Randall Wiseman with today's livestock report.
Well, in today's livestock news, USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service, or FSIS, has published an advance notice of proposed rulemaking to solicit comments and information regarding the labeling of meat and poultry products made using cultured cells derived from animals under FSIS jurisdiction. FSIS will use these comments to inform future regulatory requirements for the labeling of such food products. Now, back in March of 2019, USDA and the Food and Drug Administration announced a formal agreement to jointly oversee the production of human food products made using animal cell culture technology and derived from the cells of livestock and poultry to ensure that such products brought to market are safe, unadulterated, and truthfully labeled. Under the agreement, FDA will oversee cell collection, growth, and differentiation of cells. FDA will transfer oversight at the cell harvest stage to FSIS. Then FSIS will oversee the cell harvest processing, packaging, and labeling of products. They've already received thousands of comments on the topic, but they need specific types of comments and information that will inform the process of developing labeling regulations for meat and poultry products made using animal cell culture technology. There is a 60-day period for comments. To learn more about this, go to this website, fsis.usda.gov. Now, the American Sheep Industry Association's Board of Directors unanimously approved the association's fiscal year 2021-2022 budget recently. Five ballots on budgets and dues categories, as recommended by their executive board, were addressed in online voting this month. Membership dues collected from each of the association's 45 state affiliates will go directly towards lobbying efforts in Washington, D.C. Fundraising then by the association, which includes the annual convention, advertising and association publications, and so forth, will make up the remainder of the budget. The Wool Trust provides funds for ASI's marketing of American wool, programs that range from education on wool handling to marketing American wool overseas, and use of wool in products for the U.S. military are included in that budget. Membership dues for the state associations, associate members, and individual members all remain the same as the previous year. You can learn more on their website, sheepusa.org. And more than 130 red meat buyers from 21 countries across the Central and South America and the Caribbean recently gathered in Costa Rica for the 10th anniversary edition of the U.S. Meat Export Federation's Latin American Product Showcase. 55 U.S. exporting companies exhibited at the event. The showcase included an educational element with a USMEF Mexico corporate chef kicking off the event with a U.S. beef and pork cutting demonstration. Participants also received a presentation on the growing importance of sustainability in animal agriculture. More information can be found on the U.S. Meat Export Federation website, usmef.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West.
Thanks, Randall. And in more agriculture news, some organic and aquaculture producers will soon have the opportunity to obtain crop insurance policies under an existing whole farm revenue protection coverage. USDA's Rod Bain has comments from Risk Management Agency Acting Administrator Richard Flournoy.
Updates will be in place starting next crop year for organic and aquaculture producers who are policyholders of USDA's Whole Farm Revenue Protection Plan. This is Risk Management Agency Acting Administrator Richard Flournoy.
One of those is we're increasing expansion limits for organic producers to be the higher of $500,000 or 35%. That'll allow organic entities to go out and get this coverage as they expand. And for agriculture producers, we're increasing the limit of insurance up to $8.5 million. And this will allow, of course, larger operations to get coverage.
Producers seeking or transitioning to organic production can now receive coverage if organic certification is submitted by the acreage reporting date.
This was a COVID flexibility we had last year, and we decided to go ahead and make this a part of the policy. So we think that'll be another positive update.
Additional flexibilities include allowing partial yield reporting for producers lacking records. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
All right, it's time for us to head out for our second break of the show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on WildEye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Earlier in the show, we heard a short report on understanding the letters from the Central Valley Water Board. Today, Brian German goes more in depth with Paul Souza from Western United Dairies on the topic.
We're talking to Paul Souza today. He's the Director of Environmental Services for Western United Dairies. And now, you recently wrote about some action being taken by the Central Valley Water Board in the most recent newsletter you guys put out. You noted that the Water Board's going to be sending out some letters to producers here pretty soon. So let's start there with what these letters are and what producers may need to do once they receive them.
Sure. Don't know exactly when the letters are going out, but the Water Board expects sometime this fall. I have seen a draft of the letter and have actually tried to get the Water Board to change the letter a little bit to make it more streamlined. So I'm not sure what it's going to look like in the end. But the bottom line is that the original board is trying to sort out different irrigated parcels and making sure that they're all regulated in one of their programs, either the irrigated lands regulatory program, where most of their parcels are regulated, you know, regular crop farmers, the dairy order or the bovine order, which regulates dairies and then, you know, feedlots and the like. Those are two separate orders. And there's a few other orders out there also that regulate things like food processing facilities that apply their water that they've used in the plant to land. And so they're just making sure that all those parcels are covered. They've looked around and found that there are parcels that are not regulated in any of their programs. They don't think a lot of those are dairy, but they're just kind of covering all their bases. And so they're going to dairy and they're going to be sending a letter asking dairies, make sure that you're reporting every parcel that you own as a dairy farmer in your annual report. And then secondarily, they're also asking, even if you don't apply manure to that parcel, and you know, a good example is, let's say a dairy farmer owns 40 acres of almond trees down the road. He may not be putting that in his dairy annual report because it doesn't get manure. It's not, you know, really kind of a part of the dairy, but he also didn't enroll it in the irrigated lands program. So that parcel is kind of floating out there. That's what the Water Board is trying to figure out. And so the dairy has a choice. They can say, you know what, I'm going to put that in the irrigated lands regulatory program, or I'm going to put it in my dairy program, but you need to put it in one or the other. You need to account for it somewhere. And then if they chose to put it in their dairy permit, they would need to submit it in their annual reports that dairies do every year, showing how much manure they generated and what they did with it. But for this piece of land, they would need to show what fertilizer they applied to it. If they didn't apply manure, you'd still need to show in your annual report about what nutrients you did apply to that almond ground. So that's the, you know, the bottom line of the letter. And, you know, dairies should be expecting that. It's always good for folks to know, you know, there's something coming from the Water Board so they don't get a surprise when they open their mail one day and, you know, there's a thick envelope from the Water Board and like, oh my goodness, what did I do? You know, or what's going on? This way, you know, they know they've heard this story and they know what to be expecting. I think what most dairies are going to do is they're going to turn around and work with their service provider that does their annual reports. Most dairies hire a consulting company to do their annual reports for them. And so they're going to work with that company to take care of that. You know, it's not, we have to report our parcels already, as I've said, you know, kind of along this story. And it's, you know, it's not a big deal. We're already doing this. It's just making sure that, you know, that parcel that you've got out there that you've got in trees or that you've never included because, you know, oh, you know, it's a little bit different. I'm growing something different there. It's not for the dairy, that you do go ahead and include that in, you know, one of the programs.
And I want to sort of underscore that part there, that this is in regard to something that's by and large already taking place. These letters aren't about any kind of new regulation or some kind of violation in this instance. It's more about the Water Board doing a bit of an audit or doing a bit of housekeeping to make sure everything is classified correctly. So producers don't need to be worried about it, but just be prepared, have your paperwork in order, and in some cases, be prepared to make some decisions about your parcels.
Exactly. You know, and I think for a lot of dairy producers, there's not going to be anything to do because, you know, they don't have that 40 acres of almonds. You know, they've got the land around their dairy. They've been reporting it all along. You don't need to do anything different. You know, you're all right. Just make sure that, you know, your parcels are entered correctly, that there's not, you know, a typo in your parcel numbers. But, you know, that's it. So, you know, it's part of our discussion with the Water Board is, do you really need to send this out, you know, to 1,100 dairymen when, you know, some small percentage of them are actually going to be impacted, but you don't know which ones those are. Who's got that 40 acres of almonds down the road that they're not reporting? And so you're right. A lot of this is required. It's just kind of clearing up, like you said, a little bit of housekeeping about the way things have been done and the way, you know, they kind of need to be done for housekeeping. So that's the big part of my goal is that dairy producers don't, you know, stress about this. Don't worry about it. Oh my gosh, a letter from the Water Board on Water Board letterhead. You know, they get a little bit worried. If they remember, hey, I heard Paul Souza talk about this. You know, I've read those articles. I don't need to worry. You know, I need to take care of it, but it's not a big deal. It's something that we can just deal with my environmental consultant and make sure that all those parcels are listed and listed correctly.
Very good. Paul Souza from Western United Dairies, thanks for taking some time today and shedding a little light on these letters coming out soon. Your insights always appreciated.
Yeah, sure. And anytime you see something like that and then you want a story, I'm happy to talk to you and provide a little more detail.
If you'd like to catch a recap on this interview or any of the other reports mentioned in our show today, you can always head on over to our website, www.agnetwest.com, for more information. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds. BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, providing reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With in-person events back again, the folks from Wild Eye look forward to seeing everyone at the upcoming Crop Consultants Conference in Visalia or the Western Groundwater Conference in Burbank. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Families in Louisiana affected by Hurricane Ida will soon be able to receive food packages containing USDA foods. The Department of Agriculture approved the short-term measure to address an immediate need for food until a longer-term solution is ready. USDA also approved a waiver to allow participants in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program to purchase hot foods with their benefits through September 28th. The Disaster Household Distribution Program was approved to start on September 1, 2021. The program helps states and tribal nations after a disaster disrupts normal food supply chains. Louisiana officials will work directly with their partners in local food banks to issue up to 800,000 food boxes to individuals in the state. And food banks will use their current network of food pantries to distribute foods in areas affected by Hurricane Ida. Each package will contain approximately 25 pounds of USDA foods, including shelf-stable items like canned goods, fruit, protein items, and other staples. The Department of Agriculture is seeking comments regarding the labeling of meat and poultry products made using cultured cells derived from animals. USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service, EFSIS, published an advance notice of proposed rulemaking to solicit comments. EFSIS will use the comments to create future regulatory requirements for labeling the food products. In March of 2019, USDA and FDA announced a formal agreement to jointly oversee the production of human food products made using animal cell culture technology and derived from the cells of livestock and poultry. The agreement seeks to ensure that such products brought to market are safe and truthfully labeled. Under the agreement, FDA will oversee cell collection and differentiation of cells. FDA will transfer oversight at the cell harvest stage to EFSIS. EFSIS will then oversee the cell harvest, processing, packaging, and labeling of products. There is a 60-day period for comment on the issue. Learn more and comment at fsis.usda.gov. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Now here's Brian German with more local news.
The National Center for Appropriate Technology is hosting a West Coast Hemp webinar this week on Thursday, September 9th. The live webinar will begin at 11 a.m. and is focused on taking a deep dive into hemp production and cultivation on the West Coast. The agenda features topics including the planning of a hemp operation, the risks involved with hemp production, genetics, seed selection, and financial planning. Researchers and other experts from NCAT, Oregon State University, the Kearney Agricultural Research and Extension Center in Parlier, and Kentucky State University will all be providing information to attendees. A hemp farmer from Southern Oregon will also be part of the panel to go over his experiences with hemp production. Other issues that will be addressed during the webinar include agronomic best practices, labor planning, weed control, IPM, and irrigation. Registration information can be found at atra.ncat.org/events. I'm Brian German for Agnet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And rounding out today's program, we've got details on an upcoming rice event taking place this Friday.
The UC Rice Pest Management course is coming up on September 10th in Biggs, and we've got Rice Advisor for Sutter, Yuba, Placer, and Sacramento Counties, Whitney Brim DeForest, here with us today to give us a little insight on the event. So let's just start with what attendees can expect by heading out there.
So this is actually sort of a new take on a course that we've been offering in the past. Previously was the Rice Weed Management course. And so this year we expanded to include pests of all kinds, and so insects and diseases as well. So it'll be a field tour in the morning of the herbicide spray trials up at the Rice Experiment Station with Dr. Al-Khatib. And then we'll do a weed identification session as well as a insect and disease identification, which will have like hands-on, things that people can touch and see and feel. And then in the afternoon, we'll do some research updates and a discussion about planning a pest management program.
Very good. And now on the notice for the event here, it clearly indicates that anyone interested in going will definitely want to bring their boots, because this will have some interactive components to it where people can actually go out and see firsthand some of the pest and disease examples you'll be talking about.
Yeah, so in the morning for the herbicide trials, we'll be actually walking around in the field and looking at the trials. So it should be really, in the past, we've gotten really good reviews. It's a lot of fun and a good opportunity to actually kind of get up and close with it, with everything.
Sounds like it will be a very worthwhile event to go check out. And now, lastly here, there is a deadline to register for this. That's going to be September 7th. So for anyone listening who might be interested in checking it out, where can they get some more information on the program, and where can they get signed up to go?
Sure. So there's a link off of the Rice UC Rice website, so rice.ucnr.edu, and also off the Weed Research and Information website. So either place, you can, there's a link to register off of either of those sites. Or they can contact me and I can assist them as well.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at Agnet West, and our team of Brian German at Brian German Agnet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal Agnet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.